Allomancy was, indeed, born with the mists. Or at least, allomancy began at the same time as the mists' first appearances. When Rashik took the power at the Well of Ascension, he became aware of certain things. Some were whispered to him by Ruin. Others were granted to him as an instinctive part of the power. One of these was an understanding of the three metallic arts. He knew, for instance, that the nuggets of metal in the Chamber of Ascension would make those who ingested them into Mistborn. These were, after all, fractions of the very power in the well itself. 9. Tensoon had visited the Trust Warren before. He was of the third generation. He had been born 7 centuries ago, when the Khandra were still new, though by that time the first generation had already given over the raising of new Khandra to the second generation. The seconds hadn't done very well with Tensoon's generation, or at least that was how the seconds felt. They'd wanted to form a society of individuals who followed strict rules of respect and seniority, a perfect people who lived to serve their contracts, and of course the members of the second generation. Up until his return, Tensoon had generally been considered one of the least troublesome of the thirds. He'd been known as a Khandra who cared little for homeland politics, one who served out his contracts, content to keep himself as far away from the seconds and their machinations as possible. It was ironic indeed that Tensoon would end up on trial for the most heinous of Khandra crimes. His guards marched him right into the center of the Trust Warren, onto the platform itself. Tensoon wasn't certain whether to be honored or ashamed. Even as a member of the third generation, he hadn't often been allowed so near the Trust. The room was large and circular, with metal walls. The platform was a massive steel disc set into the rock floor. It wasn't very high, perhaps 1 foot tall, but it was 10 feet in diameter. Tensoon's feet felt cold hitting its slick surface, and he was reminded again of his nudity. They didn't bind his hands. That would have been too much of an insult even for him. Khandra obeyed the contract, even those of the third generation. He would not run, and he would not strike down one of his own. He was better than that. The room was lit by lamps rather than glowstone, though each lamp was enclosed in blue glass. Oil was difficult to get. The second generation, for good reason, didn't want to rely on supplies from the world of men. The people above, even most of the father's servants, didn't know there was a centralized Khandra government. It was much better that way. In the blue light, Tensoon could easily see the members of the second generation. All 20 of them, standing behind their lecterns, arranged in tiers on the far side of the room. They were close enough to see, study, and speak to, yet far enough away that Tensoon felt isolated, standing alone in the center of the platform. His feet were cold. He looked down and noticed the small hole in the floor near his toes. It was cut into the steel disc of the platform. The Trust, he thought. It was directly underneath him.
Tensoon of the third generation, a voice said.
Tensoon looked up. It was Khanpar, of course. He was a tall Khandra, or rather he preferred to use a tall, true body. Like most of the seconds, his bones were constructed of the purest crystal, his with a deep red tint. It was an impractical body in many ways. Those bones wouldn't stand up to much punishment. Yet, for the life of an administrator in the homeland, the weakness of the bones was apparently an acceptable trade-off for their sparkling beauty.
"I am here," Tensoon said.
"You insist on forcing this trial," Khanpar said, keeping his voice lofty, reinforcing his thick accent.
By staying away from humans for so long, his language hadn't been corrupted by their dialects. The second's accents were similar to that of the father, supposedly.
Yes, Tensun said.
Kanpar sighed audibly, standing behind his fine stone lectern. Finally, he bowed his head toward the upper reaches of the room. The first generation watched from above. They sat in their individual alcoves, running around the perimeter of the upper room, shadowed to the point where they were little more than humanoid lumps. They did not speak. That was for the seconds. The doors behind Tensun opened, and hushed voices sounded, feet rustling. He turned, smiling to himself as he watched them enter. Chandra of various sizes and ages. The very youngest ones wouldn't be allowed to attend an event this important, but those of the adult generations, everyone up through the ninth generation, could not be denied. This was his victory, perhaps the only one he would have in the entire trial. If he was to be condemned to endless imprisonment, then he wanted his people to know the truth. More important, he wanted them to hear this trial, to hear what he had to say. He would not convince the second generation, and who knew what the firsts would silently think, sitting in their shadowed alcoves. The younger Chandra, however, perhaps they would listen. Perhaps they would do something once Tensun was gone. He watched them file in, filling the stone benches. The elder generations, firsts, seconds, thirds, were small in number since many had been killed in the early days when the humans had feared them. However, later generations were well populated. The tenth generation had over 100 individuals in it. The Trust Warren's benches had been constructed to hold the entire Chandra population, but they were now filled just by those who happened to be free from both duty and contract. He had hoped that Milan wouldn't be in that group. Yet she was virtually the first in the doors. For a moment he worried that she'd rush across the chamber, stepping on the platform where only the most blessed or cursed were allowed. Instead, she froze just inside the doorway, forcing others to push around her in annoyance as they found seats. He shouldn't have recognized her. She had a new true body, an eccentric one, with bones made of wood. They were thin and willowy in an exaggerated, unnatural way. Her wooden skull long with a pointed triangular chin, her eyes too large, twisted bits of cloth sticking from her head like hair. The younger generations were pushing the boundaries of propriety, annoying the seconds. Once, Tensun would probably have agreed with them. Even now he was something of a traditionalist. Yet this day, her rebellious body simply made him smile. That seemed to give her comfort, and she found a seat near the front with a group of other seventh-generationers. They all had deformed true bodies, one too much like a block, another actually sporting four arms.
"Tensun of the third generation," Kanpar said formally, quieting the crowd of watching Chandra. "You have obstinately demanded justice from the first generation. By the first contract, we cannot condemn you without first allowing you the opportunity to plead before the firsts. Should they see fit to stay your punishment, you will be freed. Otherwise, you must accept the fate the Council of Seconds assigns you."
"I understand," Tensun said.
"Then,"
Kanpar said, leaning forward on his lectern,
"let us begin."
He's not worried at all, Tensun realized. He actually sounds like he's going to enjoy this. And why not? After centuries of preaching that the third generation is filled with miscreants, they've tried all this time to overcome their mistakes with us, mistakes like giving us too much freedom, letting us think that we were as good as they were. By proving that I, the most temperate of the thirds, am a danger, Kanpar will win a struggle he's been fighting for most of his life. Tensun had always found it strange how threatened the seconds felt by the thirds. It had taken them only one generation to understand their mistakes. The fourths were nearly as loyal as the fifths, with only a few deviant members. And yet, with some of the younger generations, Milan and her friends providing an example, acting as they did, well, perhaps the seconds had a right to feel threatened. And Tensun was to be their sacrifice, their way of restoring order and orthodoxy. They were certainly in for a surprise.